Rule number 8. It's not polite to stare. Every day at lunchtime and recess, when we weren't keeping an eye out for Rosemary, Erica and Sophie helped Caroline and me study for the champion spelling bee instead of playing queens. It was extra hard because in addition to studying the 4th grade spelling bee list, we had to study the 5th grade list too, which included words like giraffe. Easy. I mean, I not only know how to spell giraffe, I knew baby giraffes gestated between 14 and 15 months. And pasteurize. Not so easy, but it is written on every milk carton we've been drinking from since, like, forever. Sophie suggested that, since we'd formed our own study group, we maybe let some of the other kids in the 4th grade final 10 in on it. Caroline said, "Oh, that's a good idea. Lenny could use the practice." But Erica said teasingly, "I think she means Prince Peter," which caused Sophie's whole head to turn the color of my hot pink leggings. So then Erica apologized profusely, because that's what Erica always does when she's hurt someone's feelings, and even sometimes when she hasn't. Sophie tried to laugh it off, saying Prince Peter was so perfect he didn't need any practice. But we all knew she was embarrassed, so we politely let the subject drop and played a quick round of queens, with no mention of Prince Peter, to get our minds off the subject. We were crawling out of the bushes that hid our special secret fortress from view when a terrible thing happened. Someone over on the baseball diamond kicked a foul ball and it rolled near us. And Rosemary Dawkins came running after it and saw us emerging from the twisted shrubs that guarded our refuge. She picked up the ball and, ignoring the cries of, "Kick it back!" and "Rosemary! Rosemary, over here!" coming from behind her, studied us unsmilingly with her eyes narrowed. "So that's where you disappear to every day," she said to me, not in a friendly voice. Not in a friendly voice at all. I had straightened up, having finished crawling out from beneath the bushes, and now I was picking dead leaves from my hot pink leggings. I was standing too far away from Rosemary for her to hit me, unless she came at me very quickly. Still, I studied the distance between us. She would have to come at me uphill. This would put me at a distinct height advantage. I could easily reach her nose from where I was standing. This thought was making my heart pound. I really did not want to fight Rosemary. But I also really did not want to get knocked down and wiped up like a mop. I made my hand into a fist, thumb on the outside, just to get ready. "Rosemary," Caroline said, "go away. We aren't bothering you."
Yeah, Rosemary, Sophie said, her voice shaking a little. "I think the people you're playing with want the ball back."
Rosemary turned around to stare at my brother Mark, of all people. He'd come running up.
"Rosemary,"
he said, completely ignoring me. "You have to ignore your siblings on the playground at school, unless one of them is bleeding or otherwise in pain. This is a rule."
"Are you still playing? Can we have the ball back or what?"
Rosemary turned around and threw the ball at him. It bounced once on the gravel and would have spun up and hit Mark in the face if he hadn't caught it with a disgusted look, then turned around and raced back to the kickball game. So much for my brother finding out who the girl was who wanted to beat me up.
"What's back there?"
Rosemary wanted to know, tilting her head at the bushes we'd just come crawling through.
"Nothing," I said quickly.
I could see where this was going, and it was making me very, very afraid. More afraid even than the thought of Rosemary's fist in my face. I didn't want Rosemary finding out about our secret fortress and telling the whole class about it. It was our secret place. It didn't have anything to do with her. I didn't want to share it with anyone else. It belonged to Erica, Caroline, and Sophie, who'd been nice enough to share it with me, the new girl. And I wasn't about to let it get ruined just because Rosemary didn't like me.
"Let me see,"
Rosemary said, taking a step toward me up the steep little hill from the playground toward the bushes.
"No,"
I said, taking a step toward her down the hill.
My heart was beating harder than ever. I felt so sick to my stomach, I thought I might throw up the microwaved oatmeal Dad had made me. Over Grandma's strenuous objections, she said children should have a proper breakfast of eggs and bacon that morning. Still, I wasn't going to back down. I kept my fist at my side, ready to meet Rosemary's nose if the situation absolutely called for it, and a nonviolent resolution to the conflict couldn't be found. For a horrible, stomach-clenching, heart-pounding moment, I thought Rosemary was going to grab me and throw me to the ground, or try to punch me in the nose. But instead, to my incredible relief, the warning bell went off. Morning recess was over. It was time to get into our lines and go inside to class. The only problem was, Rosemary didn't move. So neither did I. We both just stood there, staring at each other. I wanted to look away. I wanted to run away. But I was afraid if I did, Rosemary might come after me and hit me, and I wouldn't see her fist coming.
It's time to go back to class, Erica said, her voice sounding a little high-pitched and wobbly. You guys, we have to go now.
Fine, Rosemary said, still staring at me. But this isn't over.
Fine, I said, staring right back at her.
Fine, Rosemary said.
Then she let out a laugh and tossed her long, bushy hair and said,
Scaredy cat.
And then she turned around and ran as hard as she could for the line. And I stood there watching her go, feeling like jello. Like I had no bones at all in my body, just blood and skin and maybe a little muscle, but not any that could actually support my body. Erica put her arm around my shoulders and whispered,
It's okay. We wouldn't have let her hurt you.
And Caroline and Sophie said the same thing and patted me on the arms, and I totally believed them. Except that really, what could they have done to stop her? It was a big relief when lunchtime rolled around that day. I couldn't wait to get home and have some microwaved hot dogs or some French bread pizza. Since Grandma was visiting, I thought maybe Mom might step it up and maybe even whip up some Hot Pockets. I really wasn't prepared for the scene that greeted us when Kevin and I stepped through the mudroom door, a few minutes behind Mark, who, as usual, had hitched a ride home on the back of one of the neighborhood boys' dirt bikes. And that was Mom, standing in the kitchen next to a brand new stove, which some men from Home Depot were holding on a dolly, while Grandma stood nearby, looking like she was pretty angry. But not as angry as Mom, maybe.
No, Ruth, Mom was saying.
Well, she wasn't really saying it exactly. She was sort of shouting it.
No, I guess you're right. I guess I don't appreciate the gesture. I already have a stove.
Clearly, Grandma said, almost shouting too. You do not. That is why my grandchildren have been eating microwaved meals for the past few weeks. That's why I simply went to the store this morning and bought this perfectly nice stove and had it delivered without any problem, as you can see.
As we explained to you last night, Mom yelled, the stove we ordered from the same store you went to is on back order. It's arriving at the end of the month. We already have a stove, Ruth. It's just not here.
But what's wrong with this one?
Grandma wanted to know, pointing at the stove the men were holding on the dolly.
It's here. It's ready to be installed. The children can have grilled cheese for their lunch.
Mark, Kevin, and I exchanged glances. It had been a long time since we'd had grilled cheese. I personally love grilled cheese. But even from where I was standing, I could see there was a lot wrong with the stove Grandma had picked out. It looked kind of modern and shiny, and even in the short time I had lived in our new house, I knew that wasn't the style Mom and Dad were going for. They wanted the things inside of it to match the old-fashionedness of the house. Shiny and modern didn't go with the rest of the kitchen, which was snug and comfy.
It's just not the stove we ordered, Mom said, proving I was right, and that we already paid for.
I'm sure you can get your money back, Grandma said, glancing at the men who were holding up the stove.
They looked like they were getting kind of tired holding the stove. I'm sure it was heavy.
can she?
I don't know anything about that, ma'am, said the man holding the dolly in a bored voice. We're just here to make the delivery. Do you want it or not?
Yes, Grandma said at the same time that Mom said no. At that moment, fortunately, Dad came home from the department where he works. He walked in and said to Mom,
I got your message. What's the...
Then he saw the stove and the men from Home Depot and Grandma, and he said, oh. The men holding the stove seemed relieved to see Dad. Like maybe they thought, finally, here was someone they could ask what was going on.
Where can we put this? They wanted to know. Back on the truck, Dad said. That's not the oven we ordered.
Thomas! Grandma cried. Kids, Mom said, get in my car. We're going out for lunch.
Yay! Mark and Kevin screamed. McDonald's!
We almost never get to eat McDonald's because Mom considers it junk food and we aren't supposed to have junk food. But sometimes, on special occasions, like now, one of my parents will break down and let us have a hamburger with a small order of fries and a milk, never a Coke. That day is always a good day. But while we were feasting on this unexpected bounty, my day suddenly got 1,000 times better because Mom's cell phone rang and it was Mrs. Hauser to find out when we could stop by to see Lady Serena Archibald's kittens, who had finally started to sprout some fur and open up their eyes.
Well, Mom said, looking at her watch, how about now?
I nearly choked on a fry.
Now? But we have school. And what about Dad and Grandma? Don't you have to go home and see Dad and Grandma?
Now would be perfect, Mom told Mrs. Hauser.
The next thing I knew, we were standing on the Hauser's fancy front porch in the suburbs, ringing the doorbell, and Mom was telling Kevin and Mark that if they touched anything or embarrassed her in any way, she would make sure Grandma found out, and they could kiss any chance of getting their pirate book or dirt bike goodbye. Then Mrs. Hauser was opening the door, looking very sophisticated. Fifth grade spelling word. In a beige silk pantsuit with little beige high heels with feathers on the toes. Mrs. Hauser always dressed up, even when she was just at home by herself, like today. She also always wore a lot of perfume and makeup, including lip liner, which I saw Kevin staring at, even though it's not polite to stare. This is a rule. She screamed with happiness when she saw my mom and leaned over and kissed the air next to Mom's face and said how happy she was to see her. Then she did the same thing to me. Then she told my brothers there were freshly baked chocolate chip cookies on a plate in the kitchen and that they should go help themselves and pointed to where the kitchen was. This was all my brothers needed to hear. They ran off and we didn't see them for like half an hour.
Now, Allie, Mrs. Hauser said.
Mrs. Hauser knows I want to be a vet, and so she talks to me about her cat like I'm a grown-up, which I appreciate.
You can't imagine how frightened I was these past few weeks. I mean, Lady Serena Archibald, of course, is an incredible kitty, as you know, but I had no idea whether or not she had any natural maternal instincts. But she's been remarkable, just remarkable. Of course, I made a nursery for her in the den, but she would have none of it, just none of it. And wouldn't you know, she carried every single one of those kittens upstairs in the middle of the night and put them in my closet right on top of my Manolos. Well, I always did know she had style, just not how much style. So that's where they are now, and I suppose that's where they intend on staying.
As she'd been speaking, Mrs. Hauser was leading me and Mom up a wide circular staircase to the second floor of her house and through the thick cream-colored carpeting to her bedroom and then into her huge bedroom closet.
Now, Lady Serena lets me near her babies, of course,
Mrs. Hauser said as she pushed back a lot of dresses and skirts so we could see where Lady Serena was hiding with her kittens.
But I don't know how she'll feel about strangers. Not that you're a stranger. Of course, she loves you, Allie, but she's very protective of her little boys and girls. Let's see how she's feeling today.
And then Mrs. Hauser sank down on her knees and indicated that I should do the same, so I did. And she started sorting through a lot of shoeboxes that were lying on the carpeted floor and saying in a soft voice,
"Here, puss, here, baby."
And then, my heart thudding softly in anticipation, finally, I saw her. Beautiful Lady Serena Archibald, with her long silky gray fur and her funny smushed-in face, lying in a big box on top of a pair of suede boots with six tiny squirming little bodies on top of her. "Oh!" I cried, because the little bodies didn't look like hairless pink newts at all, but were all different colors, black, white, smoky gray like their mother, and one. Yes, I could see one, peeping in and out as it crawled all over the place. That was gray with black smudges like stripes and white smudges on its feet like little socks. "What's that one?" I wanted to know, pointing.
"What one, honey?" Mrs. Hauser asked.
It was kind of hard to tell one kitten from the other because they were all scrambling over one another and making the faintest little mewing sounds. Over it all, you could hear Lady Serena Archibald purring like a vacuum cleaner. She didn't seem to mind us visiting her at all. "The little one with the stripes," I said.
"Oh, isn't that one a little sweetheart?" Mrs. Hauser asked. "I know. Brittany calls that one Stripey."
I didn't want to hear about what Mrs. Hauser's daughter, Brittany, was calling my kitten. Stripey was a totally unimaginative name for a striped cat, anyway. "Is Stripey a boy kitten?" I asked. "Or a girl kitten? I really want a girl kitten."
"Well, let me see," Mrs. Hauser said.
And she reached into the boot box and picked up the tiny kitten.
"Excuse me, Mama," she said to Lady Serena, who just purred harder.
Then she tilted up the striped kitten and looked beneath its tail. "Please," I prayed, "let it be a girl. After my rotten, rotten day, my rotten year, let it be a girl."
"You're in luck," Mrs. Hauser said. "Stripey's a girl."
I let out a weird squeaking sound, I was so happy, and threw a look at my mom, sitting on the bed a few feet away. She smiled back at me. "Can I hold her?" I asked Mrs. Hauser.
"Of course you can," Mrs. Hauser said, and passed the tiny kitten to me. "But be careful. Her eyes have only been open for a few days. Everything is very new to her."
"I will be," I said, and held out my hands for Mrs. Hauser to put Musette into them for the very first time. I couldn't believe how little she was. Smaller than one of my hands. And she weighed practically nothing. She was light as a feather, and as soft as one, too. She had a white belly and throat, and a gray back and tail with black stripes, and white feet, and a pink nose, and bright blue eyes that looked into mine with a wide-eyed, confused gaze, as if to say, "Are you my mom? Hey, no, you're not. Where's my mom?" She was completely perfect in every way. I wanted to take her home right then and there, but I knew she wasn't ready, and neither was I. I didn't have her food or food bowls or litter box. I didn't have her pink rhinestone collar or her pink feathered canopy cat bed. I had a lot of stuff to do to get ready for her. Looking at me, looking down at her, Musette opened her mouth and went, "Arr." Mrs. Hauser laughed.
"She likes you."
"I love her," I said simply. Because it was true.
"Are you sure?" Mom asked from the bed. "You haven't even looked at the other kittens."
"No," I said. I didn't need to look at the other kittens. "This is my kitten. This is Musette."
"Musette," Mrs. Hauser said. "What a pretty name. Much nicer than Stripey."
I didn't want to say "I know," because that would have been rude. Instead, I just said, "Thank you." The polite thing to say when someone gives you a compliment is "thank you." That's a rule. It's rude to say anything else, really.
Musette, I said to Musette, seeing how she liked her name. She went,
"Arr?"
again, and Lady Serena answered back with a,
"Meow."
And Musette started looking around for her mom, so I figured it was best to return her to the boot box. So I did, and quick as a wink, her brothers and sisters started stepping on her head. But she got in there and started stepping on their heads right back at them. It was clear that Musette was a fighter. After all, she'd been through a lot. Just like me.
"Oh, I'm so glad you all could come," Mrs. Hauser said, smiling at us. "So, is today parent-teacher conferences or something in your new school district? How come you don't have to be in school?"
"We're just taking a little vacation," Mom said.
"My mother-in-law's visiting."
"Oh," Mrs. Hauser said with a laugh. "In that case, I bet you could use a freshly baked chocolate chip cookie, too."
"You know what?" Mom said.
"I really could."
So we joined Mark and Kevin downstairs. They hadn't managed to break anything while we were gone, and had milk and cookies. I was a little worried because I was missing science class. I wondered if maybe Rosemary would think I was missing science because of her. Like that I was afraid to come back after what had happened on the playground. Would anyone believe me if I told them the truth? That I'd gone home for lunch and my grandma had tried to buy my parents a stove they hadn't wanted, so my mom had taken us to McDonald's, then to pick out my new kitten? I almost couldn't believe it. It seemed so unreal. And it was happening to me. The truth was, my life was crazy, and about to get crazier than even I could have imagined. I didn't have the slightest idea.